righty, the NBA season is back. You got the Knicks at the Celtics. You got the Timberwolves at the Lakers tonight. We got basketball back in the fold. Let's welcome in a seven-time champion, and that, of course, is Robert Ori. He's here, courtesy of Bet Online. Check out Bet Online for updated NBA title, conference, division, and awards odds, plus updated win totals and player stats. Robert, appreciate the time. How you been, my man?
I'm good, brother. How are you, man?
Well, I'm fantastic. So my producer, Stu, is a huge Lakers fan, and he's wearing a Lakers shirt right now. And I kind of use him as my reference point for how Lakers fans will feel. I haven't even really thought much of the Lakers outside of, like, J.J. Redick and LeBron and Bronny. We may have heard about that. But I asked Stu a simple question today, and I said, what do you feel confidence-wise with the Lakers going into the season? And he was like, they'll be lucky if they make the play-in tournament. So he's very negative. What's your expectation up for the Lakers this year?
I feel the same way. But the thing, that all boils down to Lakers' health. You know, Lakers have to be healthy. And if they're not healthy, because you already got Vando out, who's a big cog. You know, last year they had Vincent out. And, you know, think about what AD was able to do. But the reason I'm thinking he'd be a little bit higher than the play-ins because J.J. Redick has said they're going to go through AD. And to me, AD is the best player in basketball. And I'm just saying that because I cover the Lakers. I wholeheartedly believe that. And I think if they do that, it'll take them very far in this league.
Hey, the best player in basketball, Anthony Davis?
Yes.
I know that you are a Laker and you work for the Lakers, but how can we say that right now? I like AD, but the best player in basketball, what are we doing?
Because, see, people who watch basketball don't really know basketball. And this is where I get you at. Because when you talk about a flaw in a guy's game, can you tell me one flaw in AD's game? Not really, right?
Staying on the court. I know last year he was rather healthy, but that's been a
problem. Going by last year. Going by last year.
But now can he do it consistently?
That is the question, though. So
I like Anthony Davis, don't get me wrong, but he's not Nikola Jokic, right?
Jokic, who's a better defender?
Anthony Davis, but who's a better all-around player?
Anthony Davis.
Okay. We'll agree to disagree on that one. I don't know. The scoring that Nikola Jokic does and then the assisting as well.
Because it's about the system that you're in. Now, if you made AD run the same system that Jokic does, he could do it. And for me, you know, I don't look at how, you know, what guys star in. I look at what they are bad in. Jokic is a bad defender. You know, he's a great rebounder, but he's a bad defender. And most guys in this league don't want to defend. And so that's how I judge players. Real basketball players judge basketball players as basketball players, not this quote-unquote two-way players, because that's football.
Okay.
That's not basketball.
So let me ask you this. If let's say you can't pick Anthony Davis, if I said to Robert Ori, Anthony Davis, you put him on the sideline, you can't pick him, then who's the best player in basketball?
I'm taking Giannis next.
Okay.
KD. Those two go back and forth, KD and Giannis. Jokic doesn't make my list because I look at guys who can play defense too. Don't get me wrong, Jokic is a bad boy, but I look at if you take away his ability to push people out the way, because if you watch him play, he should get a foul every time he goes because he throws people out the way. They don't call it. It's almost like what the Kansas City Chiefs are doing now. They throw people out of the way, they hold, and they can't make sacks, and they're able to get these wins. So for me, I just look at that, and I just like guys who can play on both ends of the court. I'm not just one of these guys who says, well, he can give me 30, but he's giving up 35. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know. You watch a lot of Nuggets and Lakers. Nikola Jokic, if I may say so myself, Robert Ori, with all due respect, you know a thing or two about winning championships. I like what I see from Nikola Jokic night in and night out. But anyway.
I do too. Yeah. I do too.
I don't know. Yeah. It seems like there's a little haterade with you and Nikola Jokic.
No, I love Jokic. I think he's the fourth best player in the league. You know, I think it's AD, KD, and LeBron, and then Jokic. You know, I put LeBron there because of his longevity. And then, you know, if people don't have on their top 10 list, a guy is Devin Booker. You know, I love guys who can play offense. And Devin Booker, who showed me he could play defense in the Olympics, his stock rolls for me. And I'm the type of player, like, you know, when you think about this, when you watch basketball, it's no line shift like in football where the defense comes. You have to be able to do it on both ends of the floor. And that's what I love about the purity of basketball, when guys can do it on both ends of the court.
Now, I would be careful attacking Nikola Jokic. His brothers, man. Those two brothers. I'd be afraid to say anything critical with those two guys in the stands.
Hey, I seen that guy take a punch, so I ain't scared of him no more.
Robert Horry with us. So the big question is, it's not even LeBron right now. It's what could we expect out of Bronny this year? Yes. Your answer is what?
One game. One game, and then he's going down to the G League. I think they're waiting to have that moment that's never been done before in the NBA, father-son duo on the floor. And I just don't, I don't think he's ready yet. And you look at where Connect to shine, you look at the Gabe Vincent, so many guys are on that bench that need to play before him. So and that's just how it is. It's not the fact that he can't play. It's just that people in front of him are better.
When you say one game, you mean just tonight and then he has to work his way back up, or you think one game for the entire season?
I just think for the sense of they need to get it out of the way. You know, get it out of the way early. It's a national televised game. It's the first game of the year. Make it happen tonight. And so we can get it out of the way, and then you can go on about the business of basketball, because you think about it, the Lakers going, they got it tough this year. So many teams around them got better, and they kind of stayed put. And so they need to get wins early, so they don't be in a position of how they were each and every year of being in the play-in game. They're too old for that.
Well, let me ask you this. I think from a father standpoint, if you're looking out for the best interest of your son, yeah, it makes sense what you're saying. But will the mm-hmm. ego of LeBron allow him to have his son get sent down to the G League, in your opinion?
Well, he has no choice. At the end of the day, you might have an ego. You know, this is one thing I tell coaches and players. You never set up a player to fail. You never put him in a position to fail, right? And if you put him in the game, depending on him, you put him in a position to fail because he's not ready. You know, he's athletic as heck, but he's not ready. And plus, that's a disservice to everybody in this league who fought so hard to get to the point now, and then all of a sudden you get pushed back just because the father of this kid is one of the best players to ever do it. And so he says, play my son. And I think at the end of the day, LeBron, he's not going to pull that card. You know, he wants to win. He wants his legacy to be added on with more championships.
Talking to Robert Horry right now, who do you think the team is to beat out West, just in the West right now? Who would it be?
Oklahoma City Thunder. And I think Shai Gilgeous, you know, I think, you know, when you look at MVPs, man, you know, he was almost there. And this year, what is his odds? I think his odds are something like 15-1 or whatever it is to win the MVP trophy. So I think he is the guy that's going to carry OKC to the Western Conference Finals. Not Dallas and Clay, you know, not Denver, because Denver lost KCP, not the Lakers. I just think it's going to be them because they got better in the offseason by adding, you know, Hartenstein and AC Fresh.
Who do you think won the trade between the Knicks and the Timberwolves, by the way, that saw Julius Randle and Dante DiVincenzo go to Minnesota and then Cat come on over to the Knicks?
See, I'm a big Cat fan. And, you know, no, and I love Julius Randle too, but I just think I think the Knicks needed some size, and they got some size in Cat. I know a lot of people be hating on Cat because of, you know, whatever it may be. And I think Julius Randle is a hell of a player, but I just think there's certain fits that certain organizations need to get better. And I think the fit of a guy with 6'11", can one of the best three-pointer shooting bigs you've ever seen. I just think the fit there is so much better than the fit of Minnesota, because to me, Julius Randle and Ant-Man are kind of the same players. You know, even though I'm not saying that you know, Ant-Man is way more talented, but they do the same thing is what I mean by that.
Wrap it up with Robert Horry. We'll talk more about BetOnline in just a second. When you get into the East, we know the Celtics are the defending champs. They're the team to beat. Milwaukee, the Knicks, the Sixers already starting their season without Paul George and Joel Embiid, which I think is going to be just an entire storyline throughout the year. But out of those teams, Milwaukee, the Knicks, and the Sixers, who do you trust the most in your opinion?
Well, you know, I'm not trusting the Knicks right now, just because they're a new team with Bridges and Cat. You know, that chemistry got to be formed. So I'm going to have to go with, you know, the Greek Freak. I'm going to have to go with Milwaukee, because you think about it, you got Dame Lillard, one of the best clutch performers of all time, and you got, of course, the Freak, you know, what he can do for that team. And I'm really interested to see how Doc Rivers can get his system implemented in the first full season and see what he can do with that squad, because, you know, You know, the funny part, you heard Giannis, he heard what he said. He said, if he don't win now, he might get traded. And that's a definitely shout out to his organization. Well, I want to win now, not later.
But you know what? It's like the kid who cries wolf. I feel like this guy says he's going to get traded every year. You know, I'm going to leave. You know, they could get rid of me. And he keeps on signing contracts. I know he won a championship a few years ago. But I kind of roll my eyes when I hear Giannis say that now, Robert.
Hey, that championship was so long ago, we don't even know what year it was.
Yeah, maybe for even you, maybe for you, someone that wins all these championships, but for the average sports fan, come on, it's not that long ago.
I'm kidding, man. Yeah, I'm kidding. But, you know, and for me, I think, you know, I think Giannis is, I think the biggest mistake they ever made was getting rid of Holiday. You know, so many people don't understand the importance of a locker room guy, the importance of a guy who's not, you know, who approaches the game unselfishly and doesn't care about himself. And I think that was such a big, you know, letdown for them. Even though you got Dame is not the same defender. And that's one of the things that you got to look at in this league, because you got to be able to lock someone down at the end of a game. But they're going to have to make some moves over there if they don't win it this year, because you fire the coach out the 5 seconds, you got Damian Lillard, and it's like, and let's be honest, if he doesn't win this year, they got to blow that team up.
How about that? One last thing for you, Robert Horry. When I get to Victor Wembanyama, what is the expectations this year for Wemby?
Bigger and better things. And what I mean by that is he has Chris Paul on his team now, and Chris Paul is the type of player that said, "Hey, this is the pecking order: you A, B, C, and D." Giannis played a lot of guys last year that was fighting for Bazino, fighting for Pekinor when they didn't know, hey, no, everything goes to Wemby. And I think now with Chris Paul there, he's going to settle him down. He's going to put him in a position to succeed. You know, he's going to say, okay, you're killing him on the outside. Let's shoot jumpers. You kill him on the inside. Let's go inside. Because you need leadership like that. And I don't think that he's had that leadership last season. And I think he's going to be damn good for them. But will they make the playoffs? I don't think so.
Robert Horry right now is here courtesy of BetOnline. Check out BetOnline for updated NBA title, conference, division, and awards odds, plus updated win totals and player stats. And we know Robert Horry is not going to be placing any bets on Nikola Jokic, is what I took away from this conversation.
No, you can, because they lost KCP, so they won't win it this year. And we see how Murray had a great Olympics.
Appreciate it, Robert. Good to connect with you.
It's good to see you, Zach. All right, take care of yourself, man.
You too. There he is, Robert Horry joining us at the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. That was fun. That was a good chat with Robert Horry. Very good chat. So, Stu, let me ask you, Mr. Yeah. Laker fan. Mm-hmm. So he was a little bit more optimistic than you, but he wasn't as, you know, delirious like some Lakers fans, which I don't think a lot are, but some, I'm sure they're out there saying, oh, you know, if this happens, if that happens, LeBron can go win a championship again. I don't think LeBron's win another championship again if he stays with the Lakers. But off that conversation, do you agree with him that this not should, but will happen? Bronny plays tonight and then they send him down.
Thought you're going to ask me if Anthony Davis is the best player in the NBA.
Don't get me wrong. I'll get to that in a second.
So I don't think it's going to be one and done, but I do think they're going to play him tonight, send him down. He'll be back, though. I don't think it's going to be. I don't think this is going to be it. I think when a few guys get hurt, they'll bring him in. They'll play him in some blowouts. But I think tonight will be the night where he gets on the court with LeBron, and then, okay, he goes away for just a little bit.
All right. If memory serves me right, you like Anthony Davis, right?
I do like Anthony Davis.
But you're not, like, head over heels in love with Anthony Davis.
Absolutely. I think he's a very good player. I don't think he's the number one on a good team. I think he's more of a number two or three. I don't think he's an alpha. I think he's very talented. He also has trouble staying healthy. If he stays healthy, I still don't think he's
well, you know what? It's kind of like Tua. I'm not saying the injuries, but he stayed healthy last year, and then Tua stayed healthy last year as well, and look at Tua just got hurt this year. So when I was arguing that with Robert Horry, and he was having fun with it, you know, at first I thought he was just like, oh, because I work for the Lakers, but then he was serious. And I understand there's not really a flaw on the court. With Anthony Davis's game. Like, maybe the motor you want to see a little bit higher at times, but he is a tremendous two-way player. Elite offensive player, elite defensive player. But you got to be available. And I know last year he was healthy, but more years than not, he's unavailable in certain big moments. The only reason the Lakers won that one championship is because Anthony Davis was available. So to say that because Nikola Jokic isn't an elite defender, and he's not a good defender, but I wouldn't call him a bad defender. Like, he's fine. I don't think Nikola Jokic is this brutal defender. Now, obviously, his game is no more for the incredible passing, the rebounding, and he can make a shot anywhere on the court. But we're talking about a multiple MVP award winner, an NBA champion, and a finals MVP. Like, I don't know.
If you ask 100 Laker fans if they'd rather have Jokic or Anthony Davis,
it'd be
95 plus. Maybe even 99 or 100. It should be. You're right. It should be 100.
If it's not 100, I think you're delusional. Now, yeah. That's not. Well, you know what? I'll call Robert Horry delusional, maybe. He's got those Laker glasses on.
Yeah.
I think he called him the fourth or fifth best player in the league. Is what he called Nikola Jokic?
Yeah.
I would still say he's one. Heading into last postseason, you would concur, heading into it, he was viewed as the best player in basketball.
Yes.
Then for a while in the postseason, the baton was handed slightly to Anthony Edwards, slightly, but then they didn't get the job done in the conference finals, where they lost to the Mavericks. You know, I can't call Kyrie the best player in the league. You know, Luka, I guess, is in consideration, but in Robert Horry's line of thinking, he don't play much defense. The Celtics won a championship. Tatum was good, but I thought Brown was better. So you can't say it's Tatum. Giannis in that conversation, miserable year last year because of the injuries for him and Dame. It's like you go through this, you know, Durant and LeBron, they used to be the guys. They're still very, very good. I would still want LeBron on my team. I would still want KD on my team, but I would take away Kevin Durant's phone, quite frankly. And then, yeah, Curry.
I think SGA is on the path.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely
to that conversation.
Definitely top 10, you could argue top 5 player in the league. You could. So, and there's a bunch of other guys as well. But to me, I would still put, for now, Joker at 1. I would. I would say it's a conversation between Joker and Giannis as the two best players in the league. And you got to throw Embiid in there, but Embiid's got to stay healthy. You know, Embiid, when healthy, he's awesome. But when I saw that report today, the Sixers, for their first game, are going to be without Paul George, which you knew about, and then Joel Embiid, it's like, huh, that's how you're starting off your season? So I guess it's better to get the injuries out of the way now. And, you know, both of those guys are starting to get Kawhi vibes. Where it's like, hey, we know the injuries are just going to be inevitable. Kawhi's also not ready to start the season as well. So, it is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Stu, you down Anthony Davis, according to Robert Horry, the best player in basketball. Your thoughts? You're in, right?
Oh, sure, yeah.
You got the best. How can you only be a play-in team? You know, that's what I should have said to him. You think at best they're like slightly above a play-in team, Robert. You got LeBron, you got Anthony Davis, who you just said's the best player in the league. Oh, that was something. But I always enjoy having Robert on the show. All righty, let's take a timeout. We'll come on back with Overreaction, Proper Reaction.
Another NFL week is complete, which means it's another week to freak out about your favorite team. Which takes are truly crazy.
But sometimes a game can be so bad, it's almost good. You know what I'm saying? No.
And which are so crazy, they might be right.
He's 6'5", he's 245 pounds. He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
Zach lets you know in this week's edition of Overreaction or Proper Reaction.
All right, Stu, Overreaction, Proper Reaction, Proper Reaction, Overreaction. What you got cooking for me today, buddy boy?
All right, so the Bucks lost to the Ravens last night, but Mike Evans scored his 100th career touchdown in the game before hurting his hamstring. Now, Evans has caught over 1,000 yards in each of his first 10 seasons, but is on pace for just 100 this year, and I'm sure that number will go down if his injury is long-term. So overreaction or proper reaction, Mike Evans is a first ballot Hall of Famer.
How about Todd in Tampa, by the way? Saying, Mike Evans, if you're going to go down with the hamstring injury, catch the ball. Easy for Todd in Tampa to say when he's sitting on his couch, or maybe he was at the game. I don't know. And Mike Evans, who does, I don't know, everything right you're criticizing him for dropping a ball when his hamstring was severely hurt. So that was something. Phone call I took earlier. But your question is, Mike Evans is a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's a Hall of Famer, and I know everybody likes him, but Terrell Owens wasn't a first ballot Hall of Famer. So if Terrell Owens was a first ballot Hall of Famer, in my mind, Mike Evans then isn't a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's been a 1,000-yard receiver, like you said, every year of his career. 12,015 receiving yards, 100 touchdowns. He's definitely a Hall of Famer, in my opinion. Has a Super Bowl ring, even though like Super Bowl rings for the Hall of Fame only really matters for coaches and quarterbacks. But yeah, I think he's a Hall of Famer, but not a first ballot. So I will go overreaction.
All right, the Cardinals improved to 3-4 on the year with a win over Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers, thanks to a last-second field goal. Kyler Murray threw for 145 yards and ran for another 64 and totaled 2 touchdowns on the night. So overreaction or proper reaction, the Cardinals have a core that they can build around with and win.
Win what?
Say division.
A division?
Yeah.
Well, the Niners are in the process of the come down. Like, they got a 2-year window left. The Rams, you see some of the reports today with the Rams from Snapback Sports, Jack Settlement. I don't know how much I believe this.
Very weird.
But they're considering trading Matthew Stafford to the Minnesota Vikings? Huh? And Diana Rossini, who, right, everyone says credible reporter. Not that Jack can't be right, but Diana Rossini has the benefit of the doubt, credible reporter. The Rams are listening, and the Rams are making a lot of calls in regards to trading Cooper Kupp. So the Rams, their window has happened. Now it seems like their run is over. And the Seahawks, they got a good roster, but I still think they got to move that ball forward into being the consistent team in that division. They got to go get a great quarterback. Geno's fine, but he's not great. But Kyler, I think his ceiling's just good. So when you ask me, the Cardinals have a core that they can build around and win, I'm going to go overreaction there. I think they could be fine. You know, winning a division, I don't see that.
So speaking of the Rams and those Cooper Kupp trade rumors that you were referring to, that is apparently something that could possibly happen despite him missing 18 games over the last 3 seasons since his historic season in 2021. So overreaction or proper reaction, when healthy, you still consider Cooper Kupp an elite level wide receiver?
So this is something I always struggle with. Elite. How many do we refer to as elite? Is that top 10? Is that top 5? What's the number, Stu? What's the Stu standard for this one?
I think for an elite wide receiver, I think you got to be top 5 to be elite.
This pains me to say it because I've always said for years, Cooper Kupp is underappreciated in the national discourse, but he hasn't been all that healthy the last 3 years. He's phenomenal. He's sensational. But top 5 receiver in the NFL, that's an overreaction. Overreaction. All right, next one.
So wide receivers are dropping like flies with injuries, and now the 49ers learned that they lost Brandon Ayuk for the season with a torn ACL and MCL. And they also sent Deebo Samuel to the hospital with fluid in his lungs. However, despite losing Ayuk, the team saw rookie Ricky Pearsall return from the horrific shooting incident from over the summer, and he caught 3 passes for 21 yards this weekend. So overreaction or proper reaction, between the Ayuk, Deebo, and McCaffrey injuries, the 49ers are still Super Bowl contenders.
They are Super Bowl contenders because of what they've done the last few years, so they get the benefit of the doubt, proper reaction, but I am concerned in a big-time way with this team. Ayuk now done for the season. Even though McCaffrey's nearing a return, when we're talking about Achilles injuries, he could come back. I don't know how much longer he's going to be able to play this season. And by the way, since you just talked about receiver injuries, breaking news, Adam Schefter, we just talked about Mike Evans. Mike Evans expected to be out until after the Buccaneers' Week 11 bye due to that hamstring injury that Stu was talking about that he suffered last night. But back to the Niners, I think in name, they are a Super Bowl contender. In quality of play, I am shifting away from that, but I will still say, hey, they went through a stretch last year where they had injuries, they lost 3 in a row, and they found a way to get the job done. So a lot of it is dependent on what happens when McCaffrey comes on back. So I will begrudgingly say, between the Ayuk, Debo, McCaffrey being out, the 49ers are still Super Bowl contenders. I will say proper reaction, but if you ask me that maybe 2 weeks from now, I may say that's an overreaction.
All right, last but not least, my Raiders are troubled, to say the least.
Is this like every year you've been at the network?
Yeah,
you've been able
to say?
Outside of that 1 year, well, they were in trouble with the Gruden situation.
Yeah.
And then Bisaccia came in, and then they made the playoffs. But outside of that, there's not been a lot to really look forward to.
Yeah, 2016 was the best year by far over the last 20 years.
Carr was playing like an MVP and then got hurt.
Yeah.
Who started that playoff game? Because didn't someone get hurt in between Carr?
So Matt McGloin was the backup. He started he started week 18 against the Broncos. He got hurt. So Connor Cook, when he was a rookie, a fourth-round pick, he started a playoff game, and they got smashed by the Texans.
Yeah, basically. I was going to say, that was a Saturday 4:30 game, right?
It was a perfect Saturday 4:30
Texans ESPN football, game, baby. Yes. Saturday 4:30 in the playoffs.
I think Clowney and Watt combined for like 4 or 5 sacks. It was brutal.
I forget who it was, but late in the season last year, I tweeted out, this team is the definition of the Saturday 4:30 game, the kind of Texans vibe. And people were like, what are you talking about? The Texans, like, look what they're doing this year. That's a great football team. I'm like, guys, if you've actually watched football, you know what that is. Because for years, the Texans, anytime they made the postseason, would be the Saturday 4:30 game. So it kind of shows you how quickly the perception changed on the Texans. But anyway, get back to your stinky Raiders.
Yeah, my stinky Raiders. 3 straight losses, now 2-5 on the season. Aiden O'Connell is out for a while with a broken thumb. And now people are saying that Vegas should tank to secure one of the top quarterbacks in this coming year's draft, but head coach Antonio Pierce threw some cold water on that idea.
2-5, you know, like to see that flipped. But at the end of the day, you got to live in reality, and that's what we're dealing with. You know, all of us can get better, myself included. And I think as we keep going through this, there's still a lot of football left. The season's not over. We're not tanking. We're not trying to lose games to do anything better for the future. Hell, we're trying to be the best team we can, and right now we're not a good team.
So overreaction or proper reaction, the Raiders should tank to land a top quarterback in the draft.
Yeah, proper reaction. There are a lot of bad teams in football right now. I don't usually advocate for tanking, but the Raiders stink. And they don't have a quarterback. They don't. So you need a quarterback. So I would rather put myself in position to go get Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders so you don't like wind up taking Jalen Milroe. All right? I would want to be as bad as possible if I'm a Raiders fan. That's overreaction, proper reaction. This is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Now, Ack, you have probably seen a lot of things happen in New York City, correct, Amundo?
I'd say a fair amount.
When was the last time you've been on the subway?
March 16th, 2020.
Oh, you haven't been on the subway since?
No.
Since
Amazing.
The pandemic started?
Yeah, I've avoided it.
Well, you're not missing much.
Yes.
I just got a text from former network producer, now is the EP of Mets Baseball.
Ray Martell.
In the great, Sugar Ray Martell. Mm-hmm. This is what he sent me as he was walking onto the subway, and what was blocking him from preventing and getting on the subway. I will pass the phone to Ack. I can't show it to the camera.
We don't want that.
Because I can't show anyone any nudity or graphic images.
Oi. Oi.
You have a guy sitting down in a dress shirt, and his pants are lowered, Stu. His butt is out, and he is sitting down on the entrance to the subway door. Buns on the ground. That's disgusting.
And the train can't go anywhere until he...
Yeah. The train is ass. That's what I would say.
Yeah.
You see some things on the subway. You know what?
That's why I don't go on the subway now.
Yeah, as I just knocked off my computer screen, which is as in good a shape as the New York City subway these days. The computer protector.
One.
Yeah, I got to get a new one. I ordered one like 6 months ago, and it wasn't the right one, and I just never have done it again. I've been trying to just get through it as much as possible. But anyway, I was about to say something about, on the subway. Stu, you know how people are always begging for change on the subway?
Yes.
There has been a lady that has been claiming to be pregnant now for 6 years. And she walks up and down the subway. I see her every day because I take the subway in and then I walk back. That's my routine now. And when I take the subway in, she walks up and down for 6 years. I'm pregnant. I need some money. I'm pregnant. I need some money. You know, unless if Antonio Cromartie is the father for every one of these children, how could you be pregnant for 6 years, lady? Every day. you know, I know Bill Belichick doesn't take no days off, but even you need to take a day off. If when you're giving birth, you can't then just pop another baby out like the next day or be pregnant the next day. So that's really something on the subway. Nothing surprises me anymore on the subway. Nothing. If something doesn't happen on the subway, that's what I'm surprised these days. It's a disaster. I maybe need to channel my inner Rich Ackerman moving forward. No more subway. But I like to be a common man, you know.
But you live in the city now. I'm outside the city.
Oh, are you? I didn't know you moved out of the city.
I'm in Brooklyn, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm in Brooklyn. So gotcha. I mostly drive everywhere now.
Do you drive into work?
Yeah, every day.
Oh, geez.
Yeah,
do you have a spot in a lot?
Yes, I do. It's quite expensive.
Oh, that's not you having like have a deal done, you know,
no,
with the management or something to get one of those spots?
No.
Well, we got to advocate for you to get a spot.
I tried.
Man, so you pay for a parking spot?
Yeah.
Can I try to guess how much that runs you a month?
Go ahead, sure.
Well, when I was thinking about bringing a car into the city when the pandemic first started, and that was with a deal, they wanted like $450 a month. You got to be paying... And it's right around the corner here?
Two blocks away. My first lot closed, unfortunately, because they're building a high-rise there.
$725 a month.
More.
Oh, my God. $825.
That was the previous lot. Keep going.
$950.
Less.
$875.
A little less.
$855. $850.
Yep.
Man. No wonder why you sometimes take my wallet.
There you go. Looking for an extra couple.
Jeez, $850 a month for parking.
Yeah. Yep.
Whew.
See, I fall in a bad time though because I can't park on the street. If I could find a spot, is the same thing, and you got to run out and change the meter. It, you know, like the early guys, they can get the free spot on the street.
Yeah.
And then there's something called the NYP license plate, New York Press license plates, but there are so few spots, and they're always filled by the time I get here.
Yeah.
So, I've tried every available option. There's no easy.
$850 a month for parking.
Yeah.
Jeez Louise, how about that?
Yeah.
All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We got some college football questions, some quick hitters when we come on back. But first up, a man that pays a lot of money for parking. Here he is, the Act Man, Rich Ackerman. All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Let's get to some questions right now in college football. And I'll start off with the team that everyone's buzzing about in college football these days. And that, of course, is the Indiana Hoosiers. Who had that on their bingo card before the season did start? So Curtis Rourke, their quarterback, who's been a tremendous story, he had thumb surgery. Now, after the game, it felt like, okay, it was precautionary. That's what was said. That's why he was out for the second half. And then we found out today from ESPN that he had thumb surgery. He's out this week up against Washington, but he can return potentially. There's some optimism. They don't know if it's going to happen, but he can return for their game after that on November 2nd up against Michigan State. So the question when talking about the Hoosiers of Indiana, can Indiana win without Curtis Rourke? Well, I think they could win this weekend, and I think they could continue to win because what they have done with Cignetti has made this program not about individuals. The individual that it's actually about is the coach. And that's not taking anything away from the quarterback. But I think they could continue to win and continue to be a good team even without their quarterback right now. And if he only ends up missing a week, you know, Washington's coming to them. So I do think they could win this week and then they get their quarterback back up against Michigan State. But they're scheduled the rest of the way. Washington, Michigan State, Michigan, Ohio State, and Purdue. The only road games are at Michigan State and at Ohio State, so only Ohio State is the game that they're expected to lose the rest of the way. You want to know what game I'm really buzzing about already? And I'll ask this question, who's going to win? Thursday night, 7:30 p.m. Eastern time. I am very happy that I got no plans Thursday night at 7:30 p.m. Eastern time. There's no big game. You know, I know you got... Obviously, Thursday Night Football kicking off this week. So I'll have that on one of the TVs with the Vikings and the Rams. But who even knows who's going to be playing for the LA Rams? It looks like they'll get Cooper Kupp back. And maybe Puka Nacua is going to join us tomorrow. I just saw he got activated off the IR. So that opens up his 21-day window. I don't know if he's going to play. coming up on Thursday night. But really, the two TVs that I have in my main watching space for football, you're going to have Amazon on with Vikings and Rams, and then I'm going to have the college football on between Syracuse and Pittsburgh. That is a matchup of a 5-1 Syracuse team and a 6-0 Pittsburgh team. Fran Brown with Kyle McCord, they have done a really good job. Elijah Robinson is a phenomenal defensive coordinator. He'll be a head coach one day. But Narduzzi, I think that's a team, and I know they're ranked 19th in the country, but with the way that they won earlier in the year with some of those comebacks against Cincinnati in the backyard brawl, that is a team that I don't believe a lot of people are talking about. And if you talk about winning the ACC, most people say either Clemson or Miami. It could be Pittsburgh, but that's going to be a tough test coming up on Thursday night. Syracuse and Pittsburgh on the ESPN. All righty. Vegas. They are expecting Alabama to have a big bounce back performance. And also, there is uncertainty if Brady Cook, the Missouri quarterback, is going to play, who left his most recent game with an injury, then came on back and ended up finding a way to win that game up against Auburn. Stu, do me a favor here, just for entertainment purposes. If you had to take a guess, Alabama is 5-2. Alabama, after beating Georgia, they had a great first half, and they were terrible in the second half. They lost to Vanderbilt, almost lost to South Carolina, and then blew a game up against Tennessee. If you're taking a guess, Missouri up against Alabama, unsure if their quarterback for Missouri is going to go. But what do you think the spread would be? Alabama at home, Bryant-Denny Stadium, welcoming in the 21st ranked 6-1 Missouri Tigers.
What, with what all you said, I would say like 5.5 points Bama favored by.
Even without knowing if the quarterback for Missouri is going to be able to give it a go.
Yeah.
It is 13.5 points in favor of Alabama.
It's a lot.
That is Alabama. Oh, that's Vegas thinking that Cook's not going to be able to go. And also, that is Vegas. And this is how I bet. I know the sharps are going to be like, Zach, that's not how it's done. I'm going to tweet at you with eggface 2346. I'm the greatest gambler ever. If that was the case, you wouldn't be tweeting me and wasting your time with me on Twitter. But this is how I gamble. When I look at a line and I go, there is no reason, absolutely no reason why I should lay the points. There is zero reason, even with everything I just said, that Alabama should be 13.5-point favorite. That's Vegas begging you, begging you, begging you, begging you to plus the points with Missouri. There is no reason for Alabama right now to be favored against any of these core four teams, especially an SEC team, by 13.5 points. But Bama is favored by 13.5 points. So that tells me that Alabama, at least from Vegas' perspective, they expect them to bounce back in a big way. Another game that I'm excited for, and this is this weekend, LSU A&M. That's the game of the week. Top 15 matchup. LSU 8th, A&M 14th. A&M is a 2.5-point favorite at home. To me, this is a massive, and I mean a massive game, for Brian Kelly. Because Brian Kelly in week one blew it against USC, had that fake rant, right, with his family, and slamming the desk where he was annoyed with his family. Then since then, they had a good win up against Ole Miss, you know, blew out Arkansas, you know, found a way to snatch victory from the jaws of defeat up against South Carolina and got helped out by the officials. But this is a moment for Brian Kelly to start to really make LSU a playoff team this year. And if they're able to win this game and they have to go to A&M, which is not easy, after that they play Alabama, who's beatable, Florida, I know Vanderbilt's in the top 25, but let's not get delirious, and then Oklahoma, who stinks. They win this game, LSU, at worst, is a two-loss team at the end of the year. You know, maybe they lose to Bama. But this is a huge moment for Brian Kelly. And even though the A&M fan base annoys me because I didn't like the way that they treated Mark Stoops, I think it's a good spot for Mike Elko. They're a 2.5-point favorite. And I know usually the home team is given 3. But at a 2.5-point favorite, and you're a lower-ranked team, I like A&M this week. I do. I like A&M a lot. With A&M up against LSU. And then finally, Texas. First adversity, like real adversity that they had to suffer. Did you see what happened with 24/7 sports, Stu? Did you see that? This is incredible.
I didn't see this, no.
Okay, well, it's good that you didn't see it. So they had a report yesterday that Quinn Ewers was going to enter for the draft and not play. Like, he was going to declare, hey, I'm obviously going to the draft. I'm not going to play the rest of the way for Texas. So it was on an Instagram post. I saw this yesterday, and this is just how I'm programmed. I go, oh, that's fake. It didn't even, like, I just saw the post. I'm like, that's fake. But then it's from 24/7 Sports. 24/7 Sports claims that they got hacked.
Oh, no.
And Quinn Ewers saw it, and he put out, like, a fake news post out there. Like, imagine if Quinn Ewers did that now after one loss, it'd be the most gutless thing I've ever seen from a college football player. Like, skipping a bowl game, different, but your team could go win a national championship. I know they just got their teeth kicked in by Georgia, but geez, that would be such a coward move. Like, I wouldn't draft him with the top 15 pick regardless, but I really wouldn't draft him if that was true. But that ended up not being true. So the question with Texas is, what do we expect out of them the rest of the way? They're going to be Vanderbilt. They're going to be Florida. They're going to beat Arkansas. They're going to beat Kentucky. That game against A&M is going to be a big one. And I mean a big one. But I still expect them to make the playoff. And they're going to have a redemption moment. And I don't know in the regular season if there's a spot for them to have a redemption moment where you walk in saying, okay, I expect Texas to be a big-time team up against a big-time opponent. Because their biggest opponent remaining is A&M, who could be a playoff team. But you never know year ones with new head coaches. You never know how that's going to work out. Even though after week one where A&M lost Notre Dame, it's starting to work out pretty damn well for the Aggies of A&M. Giggum. All right, it is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Very quick 2 hours of our radio extravaganza. We will take a break. When we come on back, the Ravens got off to a slow start last night. Then they smashed the Buccaneers. Are we believing in the Ravens? How far are you willing to go with the Baltimore Ravens? We get to that next on the Zach Gelb Show. At Zach Gelb, Twitter, Instagram, 855-212-4227 is where you can hit me up.